Moving on to the true star of the show, the reason we are all here today.
Yes.
Nemi.
Yes.
AKA Nemesis. But you have to be friends to be able to call him Nemi.
Just exactly.
Saying.
So, Mr. Nemesis to you.
Yes.
Hello, my fellow rebels. Welcome to the Allied Rebels podcast, a show about video games, movies, and of course,
Resident Evil
games. I'm your host, Roxy, and I have the co-hostess with the mostesses joining me today. Give it up for D.
I'm back, baby.
Hell yeah. Get it, girl.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's so freaking exciting. We have a monumental moment. D's back. And today we are also delving into the amazing game that is Resident Evil 3 Nemesis and the remake.
Woo.
Yeah.
But mostly woo for the original.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This game, we've been, it's been on the deck for a while and exciting to finally get on board and let's go, man.
Talk about all that fun, cool stuff about it and all the not so fun, cool stuff about it.
Yes, but mainly reminiscing and having a good time. But, you know, it's been a minute, so what's new with you, Dee?
Well, as you know, I do a lot of like really fun, adventurous stuff in my life. I started a farm. I did a lot of mining. I did cave exploration.
Oh my gosh, get it.
Yeah. I got married.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I didn't get an invite. What?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to do it in Stardew Valley.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time playing Stardew Valley. So yeah, if you haven't played it, it's so fun. Just like, I seriously underestimated how fun that game is because it's only $15, mm-hmm. even when it's not on sale.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, so fun. 10 out of 10 recommend. But besides that, when I wasn't doing Stardew Valley, I was fighting dragons, slaying monsters, also starting relationships because, you know, I can't have one in real life.
Stop.
And just having a time at Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, I've heard this game is awesome.
Oh my gosh, how much have I told you need to play it?
Yes, only all the time.
Oh, it's so good. And I haven't played it since the newest updates, but there's been a bunch of updates and stuff that I'm like, okay, that just tells me I need to start a new campaign over again. So, you know, people can start it with me.
Yes, I'm going to get on it. I'm going to get on it. Yeah, for sure. They won a lot of awards for a reason. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I only hear good stuff about it.
It's amazing. You'll love it.
Yeah.
So, enough about my escapades in the digital world. What are you up to, Roxy?
I like that. Your digital escapades. Ooh. I like that. Well, I've also been doing some digital escapades myself.
Oh, stop. Tell me.
You know, just been going through the zombie apocalypse, you know, trying to survive and everything, having a grand old time with Dead Island, which Nico and I finally finished. So that's great. Like, we and I have played a bunch, mm-hmm. But he's never played it. So we finished that. And that's because we want to play Dead Island 2, which mm-hmm. you said was an awesome game.
Yes,
so we gotta get on that. We're gonna start Control because we finished playing Alan Wake American Nightmare, then it's Control, then Alan Wake 2. So, and honestly though, the thing that's been the biggest time suck, if you will, but I want to really call it just like having a good time and just, you know, I've been playing a lot of Pal World. So, and I know you're gonna get on it eventually, but Dee's having some issues over here.
Yes. I just hear about how awesome it sounds and all this stuff, and I really want to play it, but just stuff just keeps getting in the way.
Yeah, I know. You and Microsoft need to talk it out because you need to play.
I think it's just because they know I'm mostly either a PC or a PlayStation player, so it's like, get fucked. You don't use an Xbox. I don't know. But anyway, tell me about your Pal World experience.
It's been really great. I love it. Mainly, like, Nico and I have an island, and then we did start one with a friend. And I have one for my own. So the last couple of days I've been playing mine, and it's so fun. Like, it's really fun with other people, but even by yourself, it's still fun. I'm big on, like, the building and all that. Mm-hmm. I like organizing, decorating, so... I've definitely been on my own island, but definitely taking the time to put things like a certain way and all that. And I don't know, man. Some people have made some amazing things, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait, because that's literally stuff I want to do. I'm like, I want to do that. And so I can't wait, because it's going to be great. So exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're doing, so I can, like, come in from, you know, not being able to play it to all of a sudden go to your island and just see this mansion you have built.
Well, it's going to be a little while for that, but yeah. I mean, that's essentially where I want to get. So, and yeah, we can eventually play on yours. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
I'm excited.
I can't wait. Yeah, and just still figuring out what my favorite pals are so that I can have them with me and level them up the most. So I like to rotate through a lot, though. I have about 10 that I really like that I want to rotate throughout and level them up as I go. But
how many can you have with you at once?
In your party, you can have 5 at a time.
Okay.
So that's, it's not bad. Cool, though.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Rotate them and get them all leveled up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a blasty. And I can't wait for you to finally play it, get your hands on it, and just delve in that world.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump right into it. To Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. We're going to be, of course, talking about both the original and the remake. But first, a little synopsis. Just days after surviving the grisly disaster at the Mansion Lab, Jill Valentine resigns from STARS, which, again, I always think it should be Special Tactics and Rescue Squad, but it's service. But squad fits, so...
It fits better.
I know.
It's fine. It's
anyway, fine. Yeah. Okay, she resigns from STARS and vows to leave Raccoon City. But as events overtake her, she suddenly finds herself trapped by hordes of flesh-eating zombies, hideous mutants, and a relentless new nemesis. Once again, she must rely on cunning and brute force to escape. What she soon discovers is the evil created by the Umbrella Corporation is even more horrifying than she ever imagined. Dun, dun, dun. So a little bit on the creation and development. Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, known in Japan as Biohazard 3 Last Escape, is the third entry in the survival horror video game series of Resident Evil. And of course, it's a sequel to The Amazing Resident Evil 2.
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh. And like, it's so great because like Resident Evil was an awesome game, right? Mm-hmm. Then they had to come out with a banger of a sequel.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, geez. And then they did not have to go hard, but they fucking did.
Oh yeah, they
and
did.
And then they're like, you want it again? All right, let's go. And then we got... Fuck, another banger. It's like the best trio ever, dude.
It is. And then Code Veronica right after that, too.
Yeah, it's so underrated. Mm-hmm. So underrated. Because it was so good.
It was. Storytelling, gameplay. Anyway, it's about Resident Evil 3.
It's for another episode. Yeah. But back into Resident Evil 3, the game's storyline is divided into two parts. The first half taking place 24 hours before the events of Resident Evil 2, while the second half occurs 2 days after. Through this, the game expands upon the settings of the events of the T-virus outbreak in Raccoon City, and it provides a conclusion to the fate of the city and its infected population. That's why I love this game so much, is how, yeah, it expands further on the story. And I think it's so cool that Resident Evil 2 is sandwiched into Resident Evil 3. It's just so awesome. I just love how they made that.
Yeah, I love Resident Evil 3, like, fills in all the gaps that Resident Evil 2 had. It goes and explains further in detail why Raccoon City ended up the way it was.
It explains exactly what Claire and Leon came into. Because mm-hmm. You're just like, what the fuck? All right, mm-hmm. Let's survive. But it really explains it more. So it's awesome.
Love it. The original game was released on PlayStation, the original PlayStation, in 1999.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. But it was also ported to Windows, Dreamcast, and GameCube. Windows is what we played it on most of the time.
We did. And I did own it on the GameCube. Yep. I wish I still had that version, but some bitch stole it. Bad karma to you, bitch. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I love
Don't
that.
Don't fuck with Resident Evil, okay?
Do not. Yeah, no. The Windows one, I still have it, though. It's scratch as fuck, but I'm sure it still works. It did back then. But I just don't have a driver for it now. Like,
I don't even know if you could play it.
Honestly, I know that makes me sad, but it's at least a beautiful relic, okay?
Yes. Wipe a tear away in its beauty. However, the Resident Evil 3 remake, or Biohazard 3 in Japan, is the remake to the OG, and it was released on PlayStation 4, Windows, Xbox One in April 2020, which was a time for all of us.
Oh my gosh. Forever ago, and yet it was just yesterday.
Yep. I was just talking about it yesterday, how like, you know, the year of COVID was very long, and then like we blinked and it's 4 years later. Wait, what happened?
Wow. Yeah, seriously.
But anyway, it also came out on the Amazon Luna, PlayStation 5, Xbox X series, you know what I'm saying, in June 2022 with Nintendo Switch Cloud version being released in November 2022. But as in the OG, players control the former elite Jillian Valentine, also Mr. Carlos Oliveira, as they attempt to find the vaccine and escape from the city during the viral outbreak, which was kind of intense, guys. I'm just saying.
It was hella intense. So awesome, though.
Yes, it was. But both games are both third-person perspective and requires the players to solve some puzzles. We'll get to that. And defeat monsters while being pursued by a creature called Nemi, a.k.a. Nemesis.
Yes. So, yeah, when it comes to the puzzles, like, obviously the classic Resident Evil, definitely the original had way more than the remake. That's why you brought that up. But yeah, we'll get a little bit more into it later.
Yeah.
But going back to the original, Resident Evil 3 was developed by Capcom and produced by Shinji Mikami, who had directed the original Resident Evil and produced Resident Evil 2. After Resident Evil 2 was released, Capcom was working on multiple Resident Evil projects, with Hideki Kamiya directing what was planned to be the next main installment. This said game would take place on a cruise ship and would involve Hunk attempting to bring back a sample of the G-Virus. That game sounds a little familiar.
A little bit.
Just saying.
It's a revelation.
Oh, I was just going to say that. You got it. You got it. I love it. But yeah, anyway, Revelations. Revelations, baby. We'll get to that game in a while.
Eventually, yes, yes, yes.
However, Capcom canceled this project after Sony announced the PlayStation 2, claiming that its development would not be completed before the PlayStation 2's launch. Bunch of slackers, I tell you what.
That's just excuses to me.
Exactly. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Because Capcom did not want fans to wait for a new Resident Evil on PlayStation, it promoted one of its side projects as the third main game, while Kamiya's team moved on to Resident Evil 4. So that makes me a little sad because, I mean, that's the thing. I will say this. I love that Resident Evil 3, even though it was kind of like a side thought, it was just so great. And I just like that it was still so well done that it's definitely considered, obviously, it is a main entry in the franchise. It just sucks that, you know, they kind of
gets treated
like that, yeah. Like a little afterthought. And it just sucks that it was treated the same way for the remake. Anyway, yeah. I'm just saying it literally happened all over again.
It could have been so much better. It was still fantastic, but
yeah.
So sad.
You could just tell that there was other stuff that was more important, which is a shame. Resident Evil 3 Nemesis was also developed concurrently with Resident Evil Code Veronica and was originally conceived as a spin-off featuring a different protagonist. It was designed to have a more action-oriented gameplay than its predecessors and features a larger number of enemies for the player to defeat. It also introduces Nemesis, a creature that periodically pursues the player throughout the game and that was inspired by the T-1000 Terminator from the 1991 film Terminator 2 Judgment Day. According to Mikami, I wanted to introduce a new kind of fear into the game, a persistent feeling of paranoia. The Nemesis brings that on in spades. When it disappears after the first confrontation, you live in constant dread of the next attack. The idea is to make you feel like you're being stalked. And you, oh my gosh, that is like just the best thing and the scariest thing ever at the same time. And I think that's why, like, to me, the first attack, when I first played it, it's like, okay, whatever, like, we got him, right? Mm-hmm. But then he pops in again, and then he pops in again, and it's just like, when is he gonna die?
When it shows up with a rocket launcher on the second time, you're like,
I just want to throw my controller, like, yeah. Nope, we're done.
He's
like,
cheating. hacker.
Yeah, no, my gosh. Nemi with a rocket launcher? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 3 uses the same game engine as its predecessors. The environments consist of 2D pre-rendered backgrounds, while moving objects such as enemies and some interactive elements consist of 3D polygon graphics. The developers chose this technique because having full 3D graphics would not allow them to create graphically rich and detailed environments. So just like Resident Evil 1 too, you know, but it works so well. I'm still a fan of that technique. Yeah. It's awesome.
You can barely tell, considering, like, just it's amazing what they were able to do with
the technology they had. Yeah. So great. So the original received positive reviews and sold more than 3 million copies worldwide. Critics praised the detailed graphics and Nemesis as an intimidating villain, but some criticized its short length and story. And boy, did that happen again with the remake.
So on to the remake. Most of Resident Evil 3 was developed concurrently with the 2019 remake Resident Evil 2. And both games were run on Capcom's RE engine, which...
They're beautiful.
Amazing. Just chef's kiss. Although it features the same premise as the original, many parts are rearranged to add a more focused story. To honor the more action-oriented approach of the original, developers revamped the movement speed in animations from Resident Evil 2 Remake and added the ability for dodge attacks. Very cool. Love that feature.
Love it.
Because some features from the original game were excluded, a separate online multiplayer game called Resident Evil Resistance was bundled with Resident Evil 3.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like a fun, exciting new game.
Didn't we have just the time with this game?
Yeah, a very short and limited time, but yes, we did. Unfortunately, it just did not pan out like I think they wanted it to.
No, it should have been more focused on the actual game.
I agree.
And not a way to make more money off of people.
Also, here's an idea. Why not, you know, come out with a Mercenaries game? Because the original had that and it was fucking fabulous. Just saying. Just throwing that out there a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because that itself, if they were mainly focused on the online aspect, that could have been an online thing. You could have been like you and some friends.
An AI attacking something. You, not somebody who's overpowered, level like 1,000 to your level 1.
It was just way too unbalanced. It just did not work out.
No.
No, unfortunately.
Pay to win.
No, thank you.
But all that being said, Resident Evil shipped more than 2 million units in the first 5 days of its release. Although Capcom stated that nearly half of the games were digital. So that's kind of like, if you think about it, it made sense because of the time period. Because not a lot of people were going out to buy physical stuff at that time. So, you know, it was 2020, literally the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So mine was digital.
Oh, yeah. I got the physical copy, but I remember we couldn't go out often. Mm-hmm. So I think we got it from Amazon, if I remember correctly. So.
By October 2023, it had sold 8.8 million units.
Yeah, that's quite a bit more than 3 million of the original. Yeah. But definitely a lot more gamers.
Literally doubled.
More than that. And then some. Yeah.
Almost tripled.
Exactly. That's pretty fabulous. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the characters. Let's start off with Jillian, or Jill Valentine, of course. As we mentioned before, she is a member of STARS, a special task force in the Raccoon City Police Department, and she is a specialist in disarming explosive traps and lockpicking. She trained with the U.S. Delta Force, so, you know, she's a badass. Cheerful and independent, Jill has a strong sense of justice. Props a Scorpio or a Libra, I'm just saying. Though she has a healthy emotional side, she is a talented woman with a strong will and excellent judgment. And one of my favorite quotes, "You want stars? I'll give you stars." And that's another gripe for me. They used this quote from the original game.
At the end of the game.
Yes, in the original game it was at the end and it was perfect. And in the remake they put it in a random spot and it's just terrible. But we could talk about that later because that was a bummer.
Very disappointed. However, somebody that didn't disappoint in the remake was Mr. Carlos Oliveira. He is a mercenary for the Umbrella Biohazard Countermeasure Service, or UBCS. He held the rank of corporal and served in the Delta Platoon as rear security for the Alpha Squad.
Got it, Carlos.
Yes, and in the original, super, super young, but in the remake, he looks to be like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, a little bit more seasoned for sure.
Carlos was put in charge of handling heavy weapons, along with other duties such as local procurement, rear security and arms maintenance. That's such a funny word.
It is, isn't it?
His expertise in weaponry and vehicle operation made him a valuable asset. Despite his violent background, he had a warm heart and he was known for joking around. Perhaps the result of being raised amidst violence, he was brave and always willing to help and throw himself in the middle of danger.
Good old Carlos.
Good old Carlos. He grew up in the Congo and, you know, had all that fun stuff that he had to live with and deal with, and guerrilla warfare. Oh, you know, really fun time for a kid.
Fun time. But no, he really grew into himself, and like the remake version is so great. I think they did such a good job. I liked his character in the original game. He had a good glow up, if you will.
He did. He sure did. Our favorite quote from him is, "I know. You want to ask me out? Oh, the foxy ladies love my accent. It drives them crazy."
Oh my gosh. And then, okay, Jill's reaction to that. Yeah. She says, "What? Keep dreaming." So Jill. I love it. It's so great.
Yeah, because she's already with Chris.
Duh, they're on the down low. She's taken, okay? But also because the original, he was like a kid.
Yeah.
He seemed like so young. Yeah,
he was 21. She was like 23, 24.
Yeah, he was just a little baby to her. So, you know, she's not cradle to robber like other people.
Yeah. Yeah, those people who like younger men.
Yeah, right? Anyways, so we have Brad Vickers, a.k.a. Chicken Heart or Chicken Chit.
As you always say.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. He was in charge of chemical protection and served as the STARS Alpha Team's helicopter pilot. Brad wasn't much of a fighter, obviously. He was known to get nervous and run away at the first sign of danger. And one of his quotes is, "Listen, he's coming for us. We're both gonna die. You'll see. He's after STARS members. There's no escape."
That was really good for you.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not the best at, like, you know, what's it called? Imitations, but yeah. I try. So I want to like Brad. I go back and forth because sometimes I'm like, oh, you're such a piece of shit. Uh-huh. And then sometimes I'm like, I feel so bad for him. Because like, what would I do? If anything, I'd probably be more like him. Mm-hmm. I don't have the training that like Jill and everybody else does. And I'd be fucking terrified. Mm-hmm. So like, I need to have some compassion because I'd be the same.
Yeah. Do you remember like explaining to you? Yeah, well, you know, in the original game, he was kind of a douchebag. But in the remake, he kind of makes up for it and is helping Jill with all the inside stuff with, you know, and you're like, yeah, I still hate him.
I want to like him because, you know, he did want to, especially the remake. I do think they did him better in the remake. He definitely tried to help out more. Maybe not with like physical stuff, but like for sure with like intel. That's a big help, you know.
Yep. He was behind the scenes. He was their mole in the RPD when everybody else was either quit or let go.
Yeah, so. This was after the mansion incident. But yeah.
Next is Mikhail Victor. Love that name. Always love saying Mikhail. Commander for the UBCS Delta Platoon assigned to wreak havoc. Well, I mean, assigned to Raccoon City to help save civilians from monsters that now inhabit it. So,
I wonder who put those monsters there, though, in the first place.
I don't know. It's
what's
a real
going on.
It's a real head scratcher. Nobody really knows.
Yeah, it's interesting. Fascinating.
Originally from St. Petersburg, Russia, he served in the Red Army as a lieutenant before joining his wife's guerrilla force and participating in race liberation wars in neighboring countries until he was eventually arrested by the Russian army and convicted for acts of terrorism. So he had a little bit of a past, okay?
A little bit of a past. Everyone does, okay? But we grow and we move on. No, but that's the whole thing. As we'll see, the people that Umbrella recruited were all people that were in jail. Basically, tell them, hey, this is your get out of free jail card. You just have to come work for us. Don't ask what you're doing. Just do it.
Just do it. Don't ask questions. Okay?
All right. It's all good. It's all good here. We're all friends.
So, Mikhail's favorite, one of our favorite quotes from him is, "Get off my train, shitbird." And that's his last words to Nemesis before sacrificing himself with an explosion.
That's in the remake.
Mm-hmm. But in the original, you lose. And just...
I know. I love that so much, too. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's so Mikhail to just be like, in two words, he can say, like, go fuck yourself, you know?
So great.
You
get a lot from Mikhail and just like... feeling his sense that he was always trying to do what he thought was right. Like, you know, he was in the Red Army, then he realized that was wrong, and he went to go do the liberation stuff, but got in trouble. The only reason he got out was so he could go save other people. So, like, I love Mikhail.
Me too. He was a good guy. We also have this guy, Nikolai Zinoviev, commander of the UBCS Delta Platoon assigned to clean up Raccoon City. However, Nikolai has also been given some specific secret instructions to carry out. Including gathering battle and medical data for the BOWs under development, which is essentially Umbrella's true aim.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is.
He's a big poopy head. I'm sorry, I was so harsh.
Yeah, that is a little out of pocket.
I'm sorry.
He's originally from Moscow, where he served in the Russian army. Over the years, he completed and survived several top secret missions, and during the Cold War, he took part in a number of political assassinations and insurgency operations. He is a very upstanding citizen, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But due to the secretive nature of these missions, much of his history is shrouded in mystery.
Some people might say he's a good person.
I wouldn't, but...
You're right.
Umbrella. Yeah. There's some people. Yeah. They're people too. You're right. Yeah.
Shitty people, but people.
Yeah. I love that. Umbrella. Oh, boy. But yeah. One of his quotes is, "There's a price tag for everything, even letting the world burn." In this, you know, he's saying to Jill, of course, you know, a very nice pickup line, if you will. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he's quite the character, and I really hate him.
I hate him, and I want him to die.
Yeah, pretty much. I really do, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
In case you didn't pick up on it. It didn't actually mean he's a good person. That was a little joke.
That was a joke, okay.
Next up on our roster is Tyrell Patrick.
Well, I almost feel like his name should have been Patrick Tyrell. Tyrell sounds like a better last name.
It does. But hey, a former soldier in the French Foreign Legion, he became a member of Unit A of the UBSC. To avoid a life sentence, there we go again, for selling weapons on the black market, which were used for mass genocide.
Ooh, it's a no-no, Tyrell. Come on now.
Yeah. He, who knows? Maybe he didn't know what it was going for.
That's true.
Maybe.
We don't know all of his past, yeah. So, you know.
But he is French, so probably not. No, I'm kidding.
Those people.
Oh, those Frenchies. Nah, you cool.
Yeah, we're good.
So his quote, he's got two again. "Sometimes it's easy to forget one's loyalty, just like that traitor." That was from the original Resident Evil. Because I remember us debating, was he in the original? We went back and forth.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. For a very short time. Yes. But yeah. And obviously, the traitor he's talking about, we already know who it is.
The good person,
Nikolai.
And his quote from the remake, ballsy motherfucker. Tyrell was talking about Carlos.
Yeah, but boy, does Carlos got some on him. He's got quite the pair.
Cojones.
Mucho cojones. Grandes. And next up, we have Dario Rosso, one of the few survivors of Raccoon City that Jill encounters after narrowly escaping the undead. The panic-stricken man is at his wit's end as he fears for his safety. Unfortunately, this grief has made him very stubborn in cooperating with Jill and locks himself away in the back of a trailer in the warehouse. One of his only quotes is, "No, I'm not going anywhere. I'd rather starve to death in here than be eaten by one of those undead monsters. Now leave me alone." Gosh, he is like, he was so annoying to me, mm-hmm. because she was literally just trying to help him. And I guess, like, I don't know. His family died and he's, you know, grieving, I guess. But
I just lost my daughter out there. And his voice is all like,
yeah, crackling.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I get it.
But don't you want to survive for them to, like, for them to live on through you? Like, I don't know.
So you can tell their story. So, you know, like, whatever.
I think that's what they want you to do. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. I think you'd want that for them.
Yeah.
Would you want your daughter to give up if you died?
Exactly.
I don't know. Anyway, unfortunately, spoiler alert, he didn't make it.
What? No.
Sorry. You're really rooting for him, weren't you?
I was. Okay, guys, coming up, one of the best people in all of Resident Evil, all of Resident Evil, I say, is Marvin Branoff. Well, we are, okay, let's say his real name. Okay, Marvin K. Mooney. All right.
I'm glad you got it out there.
Yes. A dedicated member of the Raccoon Police Department, who is one of the last remaining survivors of the entire precinct. When you find him, he is mortally wounded by zombies and he is lying unconscious on the floor. It's not until the events of Resident Evil 2 that he does one last good deed and helps Leon and Claire escape the city.
Oh, Marvin.
Now, in the original game, you don't really see him. He's already dead and whatever. But in this game, in the remake, you get to see him, and his quote is, "Come on, man, not you too," talking to Brad, about to shoot him. And he goes, "Sorry." And zombie Brad goes, "Sorry." And he pauses, and that's when Brad gets him.
Oh, it's just because he's such a good guy. He thought, like, maybe for one split second, maybe he wasn't infected, mm-hmm. and he's like, saw his friend, and mm-hmm. it's hard to, like, shoot your friend if they're, you know, I don't know. That's just so hard. That just speaks to the volumes of, like, what a great person he is.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
You remember in the remake, he says something about not trusting anybody because.
Yeah. In the second. Yeah. Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we know why.
Exactly.
We didn't get to see that in that game. He just said, mm-hmm. don't trust anybody, no matter whether they're in uniform or not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust them. Oh, my gosh.
I broke my heart. I literally cried the first time I played. I was like,
not Marvin.
Fuck you, Brad.
And that's why we hate Brad. Coming around full circle.
Yep.
All right. And moving on to another smaller character. His name's Murphy Seeker. He's a mercenary for the Umbrella Biohazard Countermeasure Service, just like Carlos and Tyrell, serving as a sniper for the Alpha Platoon and operating in Squad A. He was shy and friendly and was regarded as an excellent soldier. Formerly a United States Marine and commendable soldier, the 27-year-old Murphy was an expert marksman. Shortly after Murphy returned home, completing his tour of duty in the Gulf War, his brothers were killed by a street gang. In an act of blind vengeance, Murphy utilized the skills he had learned as a Marine sharpshooter to gun down 20 gang members with a hunting rifle before being arrested, convicted, and sentenced to life imprisonment. Dang, dude, he went hard. I did not know that about him.
Yeah, I would say he was kind of justified.
He was.
It's a gang members anyway, so, like, I mean, they could go and, like, turn the life around eventually, but...
I know. You never know. I don't know. That's, I just can't believe it. 20 people by himself.
He's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
You get a bullet. You get a bullet.
He's fucking Oprah Winfrey up in here.
Yeah. And one of his quotes is, no, no, wait, please. And this is Murphy before being executed by Nikolai. Mm-hmm. And both games. That's how it goes down.
Yep.
And that's crazy because he was never infected. Just saying.
Not once. So
Nikolai's such a good person, though.
Yeah, he's a good person.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
Moving on to the true star of the show. The reason we are all here today.
Yes.
Nemi!
Yes!
A.K.A. Nemesis. But you have to be friends to be able to call him Nemi.
Exactly.
Just saying.
So, Mr. Nemesis to you.
Yes. Nemesis T-Type was a series of experimental bio-organic weapons created by Umbrella's European No. 6 lab. The Nemesis T-Type were the culmination of Nemesis projects with a successful implantation of the NEA parasite within the T-103 host, presenting Umbrella with highly intelligent and powerful creatures. All of these little numbers and abbreviations and stuff, fun, fantastic. That is exactly the way it is in the real world.
Like, yeah, freaking nerds.
Yeah. Come on. Anyway, several Nemesis T-types were produced, though only one, Nemesis T-02, is known to have experienced combat. And this is the individual that was sent to Raccoon City and was nicknamed the Pursuer. And he has a lot of lines in this game.
A lot. It's just, it's really hard to pick the best one.
It was, but we settled on one.
Yes, we did. We did.
Yeah. It was Astrea.
Oh, getting a little international over here.
Or stars.
Oh my gosh, I just got the chills. Thank you, Dee. Thank you. You're welcome. Was fabulous. Clap, clap, a little golf clap over here. Fabulous. yeah, but man, when I tell you he's the star of the show, he's amazing. He's like the one villain I can root for. The star of the show, uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. No, he's awesome as fuck. Like, I obviously am terrified of him, but he's just fucking badass.
He is.
Gosh.
Love him. Love him, hate him.
It's a love-hate thing. So let's go over that storyline. It all began as an ordinary day in September. An ordinary day in Raccoon City, a city controlled by Umbrella. No one dared to oppose them, and that lack of strength would ultimately lead to their destruction. I suppose they had to suffer the consequences of their actions, but there would be no forgiveness. If only they had the courage to fight. But it's true that once the wheels of justice began to turn, nothing could stop them. Nothing. It was Raccoon City's last chance, and my last chance, my last escape. And that was Jill Valentine, that prologue. Oh, it's so good. Never fucking skip it when you're playing the game, when you're starting it off. Don't even fucking dare skip it.
Pay respects.
Exactly. So we're going to break it down with the original. Again, we're starting off with her trying to escape. She realizes that she must fight her way out of the city, which is like in complete chaos at this point, right? After almost being eaten in her initial escape attempt on September 27th, she makes her way into a warehouse where she encounters Dario Rosso, and they wait it out for another day before she finally gives up on waiting for a rescue party. And of course, as we know, Dario refuses to leave and locks himself up in the warehouse container. And she's like, I gotta get the fuck out. This is my story. I'm out.
Let's fucking go.
So by chance, she stumbles upon her fellow STARS member, Brad Vickers, and she saves him from a zombie attack. He warns her of an unknown threat and tells her they won't make it out because he's after STARS members. There's no escape. So Jill heads to the police station, searching for a way out of the city. At this point, Brad runs to the station after her, warning her to run. However, he is then overpowered and killed by the threat he mentioned previously, the Nemesis T-Type.
Yeah, Chris didn't train him.
No, he was not trained at all for this.
No. Nope.
Let me tell you. It's pretty violent. It's pretty violent, let's just say. Yeah. It's really fucking violent.
Yeah.
But it's like, I wish that this is how it would have been in the mm-hmm. remake too, because to me, it's such an impactful moment where you meet him. Like, you know, he's fucking here for you. He's not fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
He has one job and he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he's going
to kill anything in his way.
And damn, that shit was scary.
Mm-hmm. That was literally one of the best ways to be introduced to such a badass villain that early on in the game. Oh,
it was so awesome.
Chills.
Absolutely.
So after escaping this lovely creature two times at the RPD office, she hears an emergency radio transmission coming in the STARS office when she goes up there. She comes across a source. It is the mercenary known as Mr. Carloth. And he says he's working for Umbrella's Bio Countermeasure Service. Jill, of course, doesn't trust him because, I mean, hello, Umbrella.
Yeah.
After surviving another encounter with Nemi, she talks to Carlos. They go try to do an escape plan on this nice little cozy train. That's where she gets to meet Mikhail and Nikolai and find out that they're one of only a couple survivors left from the UBCS, which is shocking considering how well-trained a lot of the people who are in the UBCS are. But that's neither here nor there because they have to figure out how to get across the town to the clock tower. You also find out that Mikhail is very injured on the tram and can't really do much to help out. It was never quite said how he was injured, but we do know he wasn't bitten because if he was, Nikolai would have put two in the head, one in the heart, you know. Two in the heart, one in the head. Either way, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
So Jill and Carlos find out that they have to find, you know, materials to get the tram running. And of course, Nemi feels left out, so he wants to come say hi to them.
Hey guys, what's up?
Once they get it running, he jumps on the train because he doesn't want to miss it. and Mikhail ultimately sacrifices himself because he wants to make sure that they get the job done and that they do save as many people as they can, causing an explosion as they're on their way to the clock tower. Once they get to the clock tower, they are able to call in a helicopter to rescue them. You're all sunshine and rainbows. You think the game is about to end.
They
You're
even like, play some like end music. Yep. Like, oh yeah, this is great. It's finally like, over.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is hella short. What the hell? But don't worry, because Nemi comes back with a rocket launcher and just shoots down the helicopter.
Gotcha, bitch.
But during that fight, Jill becomes infected with the T-virus. And Carlos takes her to the chapel, but not to get married, because that's Chris's job.
Remember that we always sing, going to the chapel and we're gonna get married. I'm gonna get signed, dude. that was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
So later that week, on October 1st, Carlos heads to a nearby hospital to find a way to cure Jill's infection. Carlos encounters another UBCS member who happens to be Tyrell, and he is shot by Nikolai, revealing him as a traitor. Ooh, gotcha, bitch. Mm-hmm. I got you on camera.
Yes, in 1998, they had those all the way around. Very easily hidden.
Hey, at the lab in the hospitals, they did.
Yes, they did.
Nikolai then tries to open a safe booby trapped with explosives, making you think that he's dead. After creating a T-virus vaccine from the Umbrella machinery and samples, Carlos is back to Jill to, you know, hook her up. Unaware of what Nikolai has been doing while he was preparing the sample, he is surprised to find that C4 plastic explosives have been planted around the hospital. However, he manages to escape the building before it's completely destroyed. When Carlos injects Jill with the vaccine, the T-virus in Jill's body is put in a dormant state and not destroyed, as Jill believes. And together, they both head out to the nearby public park, hoping to find a new route to escape. Jill finds a small hut in the Raccoon City Cemetery with a secret room, which is being used as a base of operations for the supervisors. The body of an operator is found nearby with a bullet in his head, indicating that Nikolai has beaten them there, though Jill still, at this point, is unaware of his treachery. There, she reads a file that explains to the supervisors that Umbrella cannot lobby for more time any longer, and that Raccoon City would be destroyed in a missile attack. Jill leaves, and as soon as she does, a message is sent through the radio system telling the deceased operator that the mission has been terminated and that all survivors are to return to base. Nikolai then reveals himself to Jill and prepares to kill her, but a gravedigger, thankfully, comes from below and makes Nikolai leave in a hurry. Jill manages to kill the giant worm and discovers a route to a factory, which turns out to be a waste disposal factory, of course, for none other than Umbrella. She and Carlos meet up and find out that there is a way out of the city, a helipad with a chopper on it. They are about to bounce.
They say, let's blow this popsicle stand. GTFO.
Yep.
Without realizing it, Jill stumbles into a waste processing room and gets locked in there with none other than Nemi.
Ooh, 7 minutes in terror.
You're right. In hell? Because, I mean, you're around, like, waste.
Yeah.
It's not just, like, chemical waste. There's other waste in there, too. So, ooh.
Yeah.
She ends up fighting him, getting the key card to escape just in the nick of time before Nemesis' body is released into a pit containing corrosive acid.
Oh, that's lovely.
No big deal. Jill probably could have swam out of that. No,
it's
no
fine. Problem.
She's like Superwoman. It's fine.
Yeah, she's super cop.
Yeah.
Carlos says in the remake.
Yep. However, depending on the choices you made before you reach the facility, the chopper can either be piloted by Carlos or Nikolai beats him to it. If Nikolai steals it, he and Jill exchange words before he taunts them and leaves them. But the players can choose to destroy the helicopter or attempt to negotiate with Nikolai. Either way, they won't be leaving with the helicopter because Nikolai's a douchebag and won't let you.
Plus, you should never attempt to negotiate with a terrorist.
Exactly. Just kill him. Anyway, no.
Moving on. I agree.
Yeah. But as Jill heads to the helipad, the radar receiver she picks up earlier alerts her to the approaching missile. And at this point, the player only has 15 minutes to escape. 15 minutes seems like a very long time for a Resident Evil game. But all the bullshit you gotta go through.
Yeah.
In that 15 minutes is, like I said, bullshit.
Yep.
She encounters Nemesis again, has to push in a bunch of batteries, has to make a railgun work, has to fight Nemesis, kill Nemesis, and try to get back up to the top where the helicopter is. And if you do it correctly, Jill and Carlos both reach the helipad. And as the sun is rising over the city, another helicopter will land to rescue them, piloted by Mr. Barry Burton.
Hell yeah.
The city's final fate is resolved at the game's finale. The U.S. government, after hearing the unsuccessful efforts to avert the T-virus infestation, completely destroys Raccoon City with a thermobaric missile strike.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that was the original game.
Mm-hmm.
Very intense.
Very fucking intense. It's fucking fabulous. It's amazing. But the remake, it's also great. They changed some stuff up. The story begins with a live-action CGI opening cutscene of news reports flooding in about the outbreak in Raccoon City while Umbrella scientists finish work on their latest project, the Nemesis. After the opening title sequence, the pod containing the Nemesis within can be seen being loaded onto a chopper. Oh my gosh.
Get the chopper.
Yeah. I love this part. I will say, this is one of those like, oh, this was a great like change. I just thought it was so great. And it looks so fucking real too.
Right.
Well, I mean, they did have live action, but it was just so great. It was just so great. Afterwards, we pay into Jill Valentine, who experiences a nightmare where she closes the window and stumbles into her bathroom. She shuts off the faucet of the sink only to see blood splatter into the sink. When she looks up, she sees herself beginning to transform and recoils in terror into the darkness. When she emerges into the light, she sees that she is physically transformed into a zombie. Knowing she has little time left, she picks up a nearby handgun, presses the barrel to her temple, and fires before waking up. Man, that is one hell of a way to wake up.
That was,
I'll tell you what.
That was a very intense beginning, and that was a good change. I did like that.
Me too. Because that is like what's on your mind the whole time since the mansion incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking fabulous. The game is set on September 28th, 8:07 p.m. Jill reawakens. All the meanwhile, she's been doing investigations on Umbrella from her apartment, and she receives a frantic phone call from Brad Vickers. He warns her that she has to leave before being abruptly cut off by Nemesis bursting through the wall. Dude, this fucking entrance. Ooh. I like the way it was done in the first game, but I will say I was not fucking expecting this at all. And no. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready. Because I was like, you guys didn't give me 2 seconds before. Like, are you serious right now? Because she has no weapons at this point. Uh-huh. Like, oh my gosh. So anyway, let's talk about the main differences between the original and the remake. There are several gameplay changes that had big impacts on Resident Evil 3's story. Life selections were gone, which were a big part of the original game. Yes. Fucking amazing. The remake storyline is more linear than the original, with only one possible ending, as opposed to the original's multiple conclusions, which was,
fantastic.
Awesome. The majority of the story is mostly still in place, but some of the things are rearranged. There were some, you know, things that they took out, mainly mm-hmm. the clock tower, and then some things that they added on.
Like Carlos going to RPD instead of Jill.
Yeah, that's true. And his role was greatly increased in the story, which I actually thought that was totally cool. And then you were meeting different characters in different places, and they have different fates. For example, Barry's character is missing from the remake. Which I thought that was a bummer too.
Yes.
He definitely did, for sure. All of these story and gameplay changes in turn made the Resident Evil 3 remake a little bit shorter. From the original taking about 6.5 hours to the remake taking about 5, statistically. Some people a lot less, you know. That was one of the bigger complaints, was that people were beating it in like 3 to 4 hours and it just wasn't long enough. So, I mean, it took me the first time I played, I think it took me over 5 hours.
Yeah.
I think the second time, I will say I haven't finished my second run through on my own, so I don't know how long it'll take, but yeah.
Well, this time that we played it, we kind of cheated, and it was like 3 hours because we used just the infinite rocket launcher.
Yeah, we did. It was fucking fabulous. So the main part that was taken out was the clock tower. They also took out the graveyard area, the park area, and the city hall.
Yep.
The game storytelling and the dialogue were expanded significantly. In particular, Carlos has a more prominent role, which again, I think that was a good move. The original game's multiple endings and life choices, which affect how the story unfolds, were entirely removed in favor for a more focused story. Again, I guess this is what they were planning for. This is what they were, like, the idea they were going with. But I just feel like it's such a missed opportunity to have all these things there. It would have been so great.
You could have made it work. And you could have done it because you did it before. And it worked really well. And I didn't think any story was missing in the original game. You found out everything. You learned everything.
I mean, yeah, it did an update,
yeah.
But I do think they took a little bit too much out. And
yes,
if anything, I think that they could have expanded on more. Mm-hmm. I think a really cool option would have been to make Carlos a playable character the whole time. Like, you could have 2 storylines. That would have been awesome.
That would have been freaking awesome, yeah.
So much playability, like, that way, you know?
What he was experiencing before he runs into Jill would have been...
All the stuff he did, yeah. That would have been awesome.
Hint, hint. Capcom.
Listen up, people. Additionally, the Mercenaries Operation Mad Jackal mode, which involves the player trying to escape the city within a time limit, was excluded from the remake. It was just such a fun thing to do. And also, if, you know, your aim with that game, too, was like you were working up to get, like, certain guns and, like, unlimited ammo on things and, like, a rocket launcher. So we played a lot of that.
Yes, we did.
Because we ended up unlocking everything.
Everything.
Gosh, that was amazing.
And you would only earn, like, a couple hundred every once in a while. Like, when we first started and you didn't really know how, like, what to do, who to expect. I remember the first time I beat it with Nikolai. I was just like, how did I do that?
Oh, my gosh. In the world? Nikolai only has a freaking knife.
Uh-huh. He has a gun.
Oh, he did?
And so he does. He has one gun, no extra bullets. He has a knife, he has a blue herb, and 3 first aid sprays. So it was a lot of dodging and running and, you know, avoiding people. It's literally just like
running, booking it to the end, yeah.
And it was, oh my gosh,
And I swear you run into Demi Moore and his for some reason.
It feels like it, but
I'm sure it's not. It just feels that way, like you said. It's fucking intense. So fucking intense.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't feel bad when you die as Nikolai. But you know,
the first couple times I just let him die to different, like to zombie, then to the hunter, then to like, you know, just let each of them get a little piece of him.
Yeah. But we did also want to win. And,
yeah.
You know, because you did get more points with Nikolai just simply because of the harder weapons that he had. It was harder mode, basically.
Because Carlos was the easiest.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun as fuck because he had a lot of guns, more ammo and all that. And he's fucking Carlos. So, yeah. You know.
Duh. But Mikhail, he had the rocket launcher.
That's true.
So
I think we played with him and Carlos the most, to be honest.
But he did not have a lot of health.
That's true. Which is, it makes sense. Yeah.
Because he dies. What?
What? No. Although Capcom decided to omit the mercenaries, they did come out with Resistance, that separate online multiplayer game. And again, I personally did not think it was a good choice. D also didn't like it. Nope. It was just a missed opportunity, I think.
It's so much potential.
That too.
Done so much different. Could have made that essentially a remake of Outbreak.
Oh gosh, I love Outbreak.
Huge missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But there were some really cool new features, such as over the shoulder third person camera. Fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
They had obviously improved graphics, lighting, character models.
Only slightly.
Just a little bit. More playtime as Carlos, of course. Mm-hmm. Jill had better dodgeability, and there was some cool weapon mod customization. Mm-hmm. You had a flashlight you could toggle on and off, which I love doing that. You had the option to restart from the autosave or checkpoint after death, so that was cool.
Yes.
Not that we experienced it, but No. There's a different version of Nemesis, which we'll get into that in a little minute. Also, Nemesis can slide and jump while in pursuit, which, excuse me, somebody went to the gym. Someone's working out. He also has his flamethrower, and he can transform zombies with his tentacle, give them the hentai treatment, and basically turn them into Plagas zombies from Resident Evil 4, which fucking phenomenal. And they have the collectibles in here. And in this game, it's the Charlie doll bobblehead. I still haven't found all of them. So in my playthroughs,
I think I finally did. And it it took forever, but
awesome. They also have an infinite item shop with infinite ammo, weapons and skins and other useful items and they carry throughout the playthroughs, which is fucking awesome. And they have the assisted, standard, hardcore, nightmare and inferno difficulty modes, which I'm ready for that inferno, baby. We got that unlimited ammo. Fuck yeah.
Okay, some removed features. They, for some reason, took out the fixed camera angles. What was that about? They took out most of the puzzles, which made the game amazing.
Yeah, I miss the puzzles, but yeah.
I get it if you, like, but that's what Resident Evil is, or at least was back then. It's fine. Change can happen, I guess. There was also no Gravedigger, aka the giant worm boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to be seen. There was no giant spiders, which doesn't make sense because in Resident Evil 2, there is giant spiders and they just take them out, even though they're in the city. So crazy. Nobody exterminated them. So where were they? We feel Nemesis shows up less in the remake. There's less opportunities and they took away the life selection choice. So like, you know, it feels like it took him out of the game a little bit. Not a lot, but just a little.
It just didn't seem like, I was still scared. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I just felt like there was a different level of threat between the two versions of them. So,
yeah. But like we said before, the clock tower's gone, the graveyard's gone, the park is gone, city hall's gone, and other locations were cut out.
That could have added at least 1 hour of gameplay, at least.
Yeah. Our favorite spot is the clock tower. Gone.
Yeah.
The chapel. Gone. The graveyard, that was one of my favorite puzzles. Gone. City Hall, eh, whatever. That could have been taken out, you know? But one of my favorite puzzles was a super simple puzzle. It was in the clock tower, and it was the music box.
I know, it was so fun. You got to, like, figure out, like, the tune of the song, and it's just so great. It was one of my ringtones for a long time.
Yep. Okay, so another thing cut out was Nemesis' second form, and they made it an altered, like, more beast-like.
I don't mind it, but that's another thing, too, that's why I just liked the original better, was because I just felt like he was in his Nemesis form, like, mm-hmm. for a longer time in the original game versus in the remake. I feel like they wanted him to, like, right away start transforming, and I'm like, I don't know, I just liked the way he was in the original.
He was different.
It was different.
We already discussed the fact that Carlos went to Raccoon City Police Station instead of Jill, which meant the thing we've been kind of complaining about all game. No Nemesis encounter there. Really bummed me out because I was hoping, like, at least he would do, like, a sweep through.
Yeah.
You know, looking for STARS members at the station when Carlos is there. Like, Carlos hides or something when he sees him because he's not after him.
Right. You know? Although maybe he went there. That's how Brad knew about him. Maybe he went there earlier and it happened to Brad and other people. But
we didn't see it.
Exactly. That's another part that's super impactful. When he mm-hmm. goes there, he busts through that fucking window and, you know, you're there still and you're like, what the fuck? And, like, I just missed that. That
was so fuck.
Good. Yeah, seriously.
Okay. There's no freeze rounds in the remake.
Oh yeah,
they replaced it with the throwing mines. The reloading tool, not required to make ammo. Rude. Again, no mercenary mode. And Nemesis doesn't drop items in hard mode.
I know, what the heck is up with that?
Oh, so mad. That's, I think, why I didn't play the hard mode anymore, because I was like, all right, he's about to drop. I knocked him down and the fuck. Where's the shit? Why didn't you shit out anything, Nemi? So, was
disappointing.
Very disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some things that they took out make sense.
Yeah.
But some things, it definitely decreased some of the enjoyment of the game and some of the quality to me of the game in a way. I will say I still like the remake, but yeah, there are some differences for sure. And again, some things worked.
Yeah.
Some things I just really missed a lot.
Yeah. More nostalgia.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so some more cool gameplay and mechanics. With the original Resident Evil 3, they introduced the 180-degree spin action. Allows you to, like, swiftly turn and dip out of there. I fucking love that action. Uh-huh. Like, quick action. As well as the dodge move. Really fucking useful. Really love it. And then it was also the first game in the franchise where the player can go up the stairs without having to push a button on the controller.
Yes.
Fucking amazing. I love that. So great. Another thing that they did for the original was the making of ammunition, which was fucking awesome too, because I definitely felt less ammo starved in this game than in the other games. So this was really cool. They had a little handbook. It told you how to make, like, different certain types of ammo, which we always saved all of ours for the Magnum. C for Magnum.
C.
Yeah. And yeah, it was, I liked that a lot. Another feature was that you could also attack certain objects in the environment, such as the oil drums. Yep. You can explode them. And that was fucking awesome because, mm-hmm. Especially Dee, she's really good at, like, timing it around and having the zombies or Nemi gather around the drum before blowing it up. That's really great. It also added randomization to the gameplay. Fucking phenomenal. It just adds to the gameplay because some of the items, like the animal medicine and weapons, would be in a different location every freaking gameplay, and it was so great. I just love that. It just feels like a new game every time to me, in a way, because everything would be different. And I would, you know, I take time now. I mean, back then we played it so often that we knew everything usually, right? But you still be a little surprised to be like, oh, okay, it's this game.
Oh, where shit, it wasn't there. Like,
yeah. But that's, I just think that's so great. I did like it, however, when you get the Magnum first versus the grenade launcher, because although in the original, I did like the grenade launcher, I will say.
It was still powerful enough to be useful.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was such a cool thing about it. And I do wish that the games now, like the new runs, the remakes, would do that.
That would be nice. But I get why they don't do it. It's... Actually, I don't get why they do it. They're just lazy.
Yeah, they need to get together, people. Come on.
There's no way in hell I'd be able to do even 1/100th of the job that they do. So, like, me to talk all this big shit is funny. I feel like we've talked about this to death. However, there's one more thing about the live section, because that was one of our favorite features, and we got to keep talking about it. Is... When you're choosing the live selection, you do have a very short amount of time to actually choose. And so if you don't choose, it will choose it for you. And you probably will not be happy with the results it chooses.
God, yeah.
So, like, you know, it kind of makes you be a better decision maker, like, quicker.
In a way, yeah. I just didn't learn, I guess, my lesson. But, you know, yeah, it does. It essentially should.
Yeah. So... That's just all the little bit of thing I had left to say about the live selection, okay?
It's just such a good one. It's such a good feature. It's so amazing. And
it's a choose-your-own-adventure.
Yeah, pretty much. And I just wish that would have been something they added on and implemented in on the new one. But
so just to quickly go over the weapons, you have your knife, you know, basic weapon. Does the job sometimes. Like the time where I had infinite health and I just stabbed Nemi, and then I got the wild hair up my ass to try it without infinite health. Died so many times, but then the time that I finally did it, it was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I did it.
That was awesome. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were there because we were both like, jumping up and down, and your mom yelling at us. And,
Good times.
Oh, good times, yeah. Then, you know, we had our handguns that are various ones throughout the game, assault rifles, and then the gun that every Resident Evil fan loves, the Magnum. Mm-hmm. This one was more like a revolver Magnum, and it's kind of a nod to Mr. Barry Burton, because that's his baby.
Yeah.
That's his gun. And then, you know, there's a rocket launcher just lying around Raccoon City at this part.
I wish.
Yeah, right. But they do have the grenade launcher.
They do.
The mine thrower that I was talking about earlier. Gatling gun's not really available unless you buy it, but that's okay. It's still fun to use.
Yeah.
And then we got that big ass rail gun that you kill Nemi with at the end.
Yeah, can you imagine carrying that around throughout the city? Just, okay, hold on, wait a second, just lugging it around.
It's got to charge. The batteries have to connect. Hold on.
I'm not ready for this.
Back up. I said back up.
And you whip out your Magnum. Don't make me use this, I swear, because I only have a couple bullets. Do not make me use this.
Do not make me waste it.
Yeah.
In the remake, they introduce sub-weapons, which are the survival knife, combat knife, hand grenade, and the flash grenade, which before used to think the flash grenade was useless, and then realized what it was used for is to kill like the Las Palagas and all that stuff. You know, you live and you learn.
Okay? You do. And then you get flash grenades. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm big fucking fan of these sub weapons. I'm so glad that this is a thing now, like with all the games. I think it's so great. I love it. If I could have infinite amount of those,
right,
I'll just be like, and you get one, and you get one, like, here's every 5 seconds.
Here's for your mouth.
Yep. I'll be the mouth. Just pop one in.
Good boy. And then healing. Typical Resident Evil style healing. Red, blue, green herbs. You mix them all together, you get poop.
Yep.
You know, you get your big steaming pile of poop. Some people will say it's marijuana. No, it's poop. Get it together.
But it's healing.
It's healing, yeah. And then there's the first aid sprays, which in the original game, you get start with the trio. Mm-hmm. And then you can refill that so it doesn't take up too much space, which is actually phenomenal.
Takes one slot, and that's fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Yeah. So let's go into some of the enemies that we see. Both of the games, obviously, we have our zombies. And we also have the zombie dogs, of course, our Cerberuses. And we have Paleheads in the remake, which are found in the Nest 2 area. And these fucking assholes suck. They basically originated from test subjects that underwent a special mutation upon the infection with the Tyrant virus. And they're just like regular zombies, except they're naked. Mm-hmm. And they feel like it looks like their skin is melting. Mm-hmm. And they have regenerative abilities. And they move a little faster. And that fucking sucks. Because if you're ammo starved, you're kind of SOL in this part.
Unless you get the ammo that can kill them, then it's not so bad.
True.
However, if you don't have the ammo that kills them, oh.
Or just get a rocket launcher.
Yeah, or just get the rocket launcher. Problem solved. Costs $5, guys.
Yeah, no big deal. We have the crows, which are only in the original. And then in both the games, we have the drained Deimoses, which are those things that, impregnated Jill. Mm-hmm. Lovely. And then in the original, there's also these brain suckers, which kind of look like the drained Deimoses, mm-hmm. except like they'll kind of grab you and just kind of start sucking on your head. So,
yeah. Yep.
Also in the original, the grave diggers, which are the big worms. And then we have sliding worms also in the original, which are just the tiny version of the grave diggers.
Oh God, those things were so annoying.
Yeah, they were. And then we have the giant spiders and the little tiny spiders. They're so cute.
They were cute. I was like, why do I think little spiders are cute?
They are.
And then we have some of my favorite, most terrifying, not big things, but kind of bigger step up, is the Hunter Beta. This motherfucker can decalopolate you in one swipe. Doesn't matter how high your health is. Oh, terrifying. Just knowing that, sometimes I freak out and I need to pause for a minute. Hold on. I sense hunters around here.
My hunter senses are tingling. Gosh, I still remember the first playthrough of Resident Evil with Jill just like being decapitated in that one room. And you're like, I'm like, what? And you're like, yep, it happens.
Yeah.
Like, no, what?
And I think we didn't save for a while before then too.
Yeah.
So it was devastating.
Yes.
And then we have another type of hunter, the Hunter Gamma, a frog-like hunter. It still has the claws and stuff, but these motherfuckers can swallow you. They literally pick you up and swallow you. So any hunter is scarifying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you don't want to fuck with them. You can try to dodge them, but it's hard as fuck. And then we have Nikolai. Have you heard of him?
He's that good person, right?
Yeah. A good person.
Yep.
In the original, you don't really face Nikolai. You don't really do a battle with him. There's a lot of words that are exchanged, but not any, like, fights.
Right.
And it's the same as the remake. You don't really fight him. You talk to him a lot. You do talk to him more, I believe, in the remake than you do the original.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, they made me hate Nikolai even more in the remake.
They did a good job on that, I guess.
Yeah.
Definitely made him more into a villain.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the best enemy, frenemy, if you will, in the game, Nemesis. So he's a BOW that was the result of an advanced research conducted by the Umbrella European Office, as we stated before. He's probably one of the fucking best that came out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So Nemesis was an attempt to create a tyrant with radically improved intelligence, allowing it to follow orders and handle complex weaponry. Which, boy, howdy, did he ever.
Yeah, he did.
A BOW parasite was produced called the NE Alpha, which was injected into the ordinary mass-produced tyrant's spinal cord on a cellular level, whereupon it began to feed on the T-virus and used it to spread throughout the entire system. This new breed of tyrant deployed into Raccoon City and was programmed with the instructions of finding and disposing of the remaining STARS team members, Jill Valentine and Brad Vickers. It was fitted with a protective armor to avoid taking too much damage and equipped with a rocket launcher to aid it in its mission. This is obviously mainly in the original.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I fucking love his outfit in the original.
Same.
Like, I remember we were both so disappointed when we saw him in that outfit in the remake.
Horrendous.
But yeah, that trench coat, he just, that's just his look, and he needed to wear that. And I was telling T, like, what's under that trench coat, though? Like, that's daddy right there.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching, I was showing you some videos of, like, these mods that people go wild. I love the mods that people do. And he was just wearing, like, this Speedo.
Yeah.
Like, now we know what's under there.
Right. It was hilarious because I went, oh!
So Nemesis' second form, he loses the protective armor and the limiter, which is prohibiting from mutating further. And as a result, he undergoes a slight mutation that causes his tentacles to become longer and much more dangerous. Mm-hmm. He can now use these tentacles to whip and slash at you. And he can even use them to grab a hold of you and slide you to within range of his physical attacks. So he's fucking more hard, like more badass. Gets more difficult, and I definitely like do not want to challenge him without making sure I have the Magnum or the rocket launcher, because
damn straight, that was scary.
It is. And his final form bears little resemblance to his former self, as he completely mutated out of control, part of it due to the chemicals that were found in the dead factory, and he is now a massive blob-like creature capable of spitting acid. He's practically invincible to your ordinary weapons. So at this point, the rail cannon is the only thing that can really, you know, destroy it. So luckily, you have one at your disposal.
Magically so.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the remake Nemesis. So the process of designing the Nemesis went through several iterations. Although the art team made sure that the new character model stayed true to the original concept, they redesigned it so that it could fit into a reimagined and photorealistic setting. One of the most notable changes from the original design is the fact that he now wears body bags instead of clothes.
Ugh.
Yeah. According to the game's director, though, Kyoiko Sakata, this aesthetic choice was made to show that Nemesis is not a completed model, but a prototype. So I get where they were coming with. I guess it's kind of like, we're going to rush this to see if it works because we need to kill these members and let's just, you know, get them out.
Blah, 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 their needs.
They should have had this prepared. Come on, people. But he further explains that Nemesis' new attire was meant to be restrictive gear that was haphazardly and quickly created to contain him, which is why it looks how it looks, very, like, no thought about it. So the way they were going about it was, like, they were trying to modernize it, but kind of have the essence of the original. I don't think it kind of worked. I personally don't like it. I know Dee, like,
I do not like it at all.
No. But, I mean, at least his character, for the most part, stayed the same as far as, like, having to stalk you throughout the game. So, I'm glad that stayed, for the most part, the same. I do think, like we were saying earlier, that he wasn't really around that much. I feel like there was two major moments where you saw him, where you encountered him. And then it was the part where he turned into that, like, animal.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I just feel like it was different.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about the differences in his form and his abilities versus the original. In his first form, he's extremely fast like he was before, but he is also bigger. He is much taller in the remake than he is in the original game. And he has the ability to dodge your gunfire, which is very rude.
It was the first time he did that. I was like, oh, hell no. He just yeeted.
So rude. And we already talked about the fact that he was covered in body bags and just his look about him. He only, you know, brought out the tentacle a couple times, but he had the ability to create the super zombies this time around. And basically he did it the way he killed Brad in the original game. He just shoves his tentacle right down your throat. There you go. Super zombie. But however, in his second form, this is when he just goes animal. He's all animal. He's super feral, faster. He's running on all fours. He jumps on you. He bites you. He stalks you like a prey. He pounces on you. You know, just all the things. All the things. And it's not fun. It's fun for him. Yeah. It's not fun for us.
It's still scary. I don't like this form necessarily.
No.
It's not. Okay. I'll take that back. I just wish it would have happened a little bit later. I feel like we didn't get a lot of time with the original Nemesis.
I agree. I miss the second form in the original game because it makes more sense. You slowly see him transition because he loses that inhibitor and he starts to mutate and get more tentacles and has more abilities and, you know, just that thing to me was more storytelling than what happened just now. Yes, he fell in the water. Bitch can't even swim.
Oh gosh, that lie.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's mutated into a giant wolf. Like, not wolf, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Creature.
Yeah.
And then his third form happens after you fight Nemesis in the circular ring. Essentially, they make a boxing ring for you in the chemicals area. And zombies come out and you shoot him and stuff. And he's in that form while you're fighting him. And then Carlos saves you with the crane and raises you up. Just as chemicals start flooding that area and it causes him to turn into the big blob that we saw at the end. So he's slightly bigger this time though.
Yep.
He takes an entire room up and it's kind of just icky and gross.
Pretty much. So let's move on to some of the unlockables that they had in the game. The original, we had some outfits that you can unlock. Mm-hmm. They had her normal casual outfit. You know, she has the iconic blue tube top with a black skirt and some brown boots. Classic. Mm-hmm. And she has a little white hoodie, too, at some point.
Yeah, around her waist.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. You can unlock a bike rider outfit. It's a black leather suit with a red belt. Sounds pretty snazzy. Mm-hmm. And then you have their Stars uniform. The blue shirt with the shoulder pads. Classic with the little beret. Love it. And then she has a white disco suit, which I don't remember what it looks like.
A white disco suit.
Get it. And then a blue police shirt and a dark blue shorts, which I also don't remember this outfit. Mm-hmm. And then they have a costume based on Dino Crisis's Regina. Mm-hmm. So I do remember this outfit. So that's pretty cool. And then they do have some epilogues, which I like that. I miss that type of stuff.
Me too.
That they don't really do. They had something sort of similar to that in the remake. Had like an end scene that was like 2 seconds long.
Right.
But yeah, the epilogues were really cool. It was different scenes and depending on what ending you got, that's what you got.
Different epilogues.
It was so cool. So cool.
Well, in the remake, you get to unlock Jill Star's gear. You earn a recovery coin, which is a coin that you have to hold on your person, but it slowly regains health. You have a defense coin, which makes you harder to hurt. You have an assault coin, which, again, you have to hold both of those on your person, but you cause more damage with the assault one. Mm-hmm. Then we have a crafting companion, which you craft different items in the game. You have the Stars Field Combat Manual, which tells you how to do certain things. You have a lockpick. You have a bolt cutter, hip pouches, and then the hot dogger.
I love that.
Samurai Edge, the Raiden. And then you can unlock the infinite handgun ammo, the infinite assault rifle, and the infinite rocket launcher.
Oh, hell yeah, baby.
Hell
yeah. Oh, man. Let me tell you, the time that we played together, it was fabulous.
A blast.
Like,
literally.
I'm not scared of you. I just walk and boom, boom, boom. I got infinite ammo, baby.
You remember what I did to him in the Charlie head area?
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh, there's this part, like kind of on the way down to the donut shop, and there's like this little, what's it called, like a little median type thing. There's like flowers and there's like a railing, and she would go around it and he like follow her, and then she'd stop, go the other way, and then he'd stop and go the other way too. And it went going on and on and on. And then eventually he like got fed up and like did a little power launch out into like somewhere, like Batman style, just like Gatling gun. Mm-hmm. And then like she walked around a little bit, and then 2 seconds later, boom, baby, right in front of her. Oh my gosh. I will say, as much as like we do kind of shit a little bit on the remake, that shit was like badass. Uh-huh. I like that.
Me too.
I was not expecting that.
No, it was so fun. It was hilarious. We were dying laughing while I was doing it, too.
And he was just so pissed, too.
He was. You could tell. He was just like, just goddamn it, just stay on one side.
Yeah. Funny thing is, like, he could totally just climb over and, like, just grab you.
He could totally just reach over, too.
Yeah.
That's like, how tall he is.
Tentacles.
Yeah.
Like, just boop, right on your head.
Bandersnatcher.
Yeah, Bandersnatcher style. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was before his time.
It's true. It was the first time. All right, so let's go over 10 best parts of both games. And this is according to Game Rant. Number 10, they gave it to the remake. They had better gunplay.
I agree.
I was going to say, because the fact that you can, like, update or what's it called? Customize the weapons as far as, like, adding, you know, they get stronger. I agree.
Yep. And number 9 went to the original for better level design. Totally agree with this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The original game was just a masterpiece.
It was.
It was so great. Number 8 went to the remake for better art direction, which I think we're talking about just the way, you know, the art design, everything. It's a beautiful game.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love it. It's great.
Great lighting, great shadows, great dynamics. Yeah. It is really good.
Yeah.
And then 7 goes to the original for mercenary mode.
Of course.
1000% agree.
Absolutely. I wish they would have done it for the remake. I wish I would have seen the remake Carlos and Mikhail be able to play with him that way, you know?
I don't want to play with Carlos.
Saying
that?
So number 6 went to the remake for the better shop. So
that one's debatable for me.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, just because I like the simplicity of the original game. Just earn your money through the mercenaries and buy the stuff there.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I do, actually. I agree with you, the fact that you would just play the mercenaries game in order to unlock all this stuff that you could get in the shop. So, yeah. I mean, I will say I'm a little impatient, so I do like the option of being able to, like, monetarily provide that for myself. But, you know.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
But maybe they mean, like, more options as far as, like, you know, because they have that hot dagger.
Dogger.
Yeah.
Hot dogger. But, yeah, I see, in a way, yes, it is better, but in another way, it's not because I said so. No.
And who can argue with that?
Right, yeah. Number 5 goes to the original. Because it has more costumes, baby.
Yes.
It has a ton more costumes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, I like the costumes. I think they're super fun. Mm-hmm. But I will say, the thing is, I only play with either the original outfit or the Resident Evil outfit. Beret. I love those.
And I love her remake outfit just because.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I don't know. It's just better. It's not making her into the typical video game eye candy, you know?
And I think it just makes more sense for all the stuff that she's put through, for her to be wearing those type of shoes and those, like, the jeans and all that.
Yeah, jeans instead of a skirt.
Yeah. Again, that outfit is iconic, but I definitely want to say that the remake does make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
For number 4, this went to the remake for better writing. I think it's certain things. Yes, I can see it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So I do think it's definitely more polished, but I wish, you know, we're talking about the things that we liked that they took out. I just wish they could have fitted that in somehow. So
I agree. I think, yes, the writing is better in the remake, but that's only because of time.
That's true, too. The time it's come out. At that time, that stuff was totally acceptable. Uh-huh. Like, it's a little cheese to it, but it was still, like, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Number 3 goes to original, and you cannot argue this, that it doesn't make sense, because it makes all the sense. Nemesis is actually scary.
Yes. Oh my gosh. 100,000%. Absolutely. The original is scarier.
Yeah. Terrifying. You remember we were just playing the original and I ran out thinking, oh, he's not going to be here because we did this one selection. And all of a sudden he comes charging at me and, like, pins me in a corner and I just get bashed to death. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Woo! That was whoo.
Yep.
Intense.
He does not fuck around.
No.
In the original, like, it's so fucking scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, too, like, back in the day, you know, when you come off of Resident Evil 2 and you're used to Mr. X and granted, he's scary as fuck, but mm-hmm. he doesn't charge at you. He doesn't go at you with a weapon. And to come off of this, all of a sudden, he's like, all right, square up, bitch. We're going. Like, let's go.
And, knock you the fuck out. Oh,
my God. I did not sign up for that shit.
And then you have to try to get up, and you're like,
Bitch, I know you just got knocked out by this 600-pound creature with a rocket launcher to the head. Like, get up. Pick yourself up.
Quit being lazy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. But yeah, number two goes to the remake for a great companion piece to Resident Evil 2, the remake. Agreed. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. It totally fits in with the remake. Yeah, it's great.
Interweaves it a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it shows the part that happened to Martin K. Mooney, mm-hmm. and it definitely, they did a better job. It's yes. more cohesive.
And then lastly, number one. And you've heard us repeatedly talk about it already. And we feel very validated and vindicated with their decision. Is the live selection.
Fuck yes, dude. Oh, seriously.
I'm so glad other people agree with us because they're right for once. No, <I'm kidding. laughs>
They know what it feels like to be us.
Yes. Geniuses.
Absolutely, dude. I love that. That was so great. That's such a good choice. And I wish they could have done it in the remake.
Me too.
I loved it. It was one of my favorite parts. Whenever it came up, right. Oh my gosh, so excited. What are we going to do today? Let's mix it up. Like, it was so fun to do all these different types of, like, you know.
Remember, we used to keep notes on which one we chose so we could see what ending we would probably get.
Yep. Oh, so fun. I mean, yeah, that was totally back in the day before going to the internet to look up for these, like, hacks and all that. So it was fun.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, some of my favorite parts of the game are, like, just stories. I remember the first time we played it together, you didn't tell me anything. You made me play most of it. Like, I know you played a lot of it too, but I feel like you definitely made me play the jump scare parts. And you would just be like, oh, here you go. And you would tell me, and then all of a sudden, ah! And then you just, yes.
Yes, indubitably.
Yes. Oh, you're such a turd. I hate you right now so much.
Yeah, it was fun because, well, with you, I chose different options too with than what I did with my sister, because I played with my sister for the first time, and it was just such a different experience. I didn't know exactly when he would come out, but, like, you just got a sense of when he would, and you did not pick up on that until, like, we were in the waste area and you went, I know what you're doing, or something like that.
Yes, that's true too. I didn't know at first.
Yeah.
Like, that she was strategically making me play the parts where Demi would come out. And yeah, it was amazing. It was good times. Terrifying, but good times.
And then we have so many, like, just inside jokes between the two of us about Resident Evil 3. Like, that area between the restaurant and the gas station. We would say, like, Nemi's gonna be standing there practicing saying stars different ways. Yeah. Like, wearing a tutu and, like, doing, like, little dances.
Because he's so bored standing there waiting for us, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it was just so fun. Like, he'd, like, be, like, frolicking like a ballerina and go, stars. And then he, like, we'd walk in, we're like, huh? And he'd go,
stars.
Yeah, and we're like, yeah, no, I can't unsee that.
Right. Sorry, you don't. You're good job, buddy.
Yeah, you're a softie. We know it deep down. Oh, I had another one. I forgot. There's just so many, though.
Yeah.
Like, well, this last time that we played the original, we couldn't figure out the choices that you had to make in order for Carlos to say our favorite line. Uh-huh. So we had to try it a bunch of different ways. For her, you know, her to find, or for him to finally say that, because he has to be in a good mood. And I think she's actually a little bit angrier in that part.
Yes, she is.
Versus in the other way, when he doesn't say that, he's a little bit angrier and she's a little bit more calm. So it's interesting.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
The think about it. Think about it.
That's another thing we say a lot. Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. Because depending on how he says it, it's just great. I love it.
Yeah. You could join us if you want to, or something like that.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Or, yeah.
Look, you can join us if you want to. Think about it. Yeah. It's just like, Okay, bipolar Carlos. But then again, so is Jill, so.
Yeah. But see, that's what I love. Depending on what you do, what happens, what they go through, they'll be upset or they'll be like more happier about whatever. And just love that. It was so fucking brilliant for the time.
It was.
So fucking brilliant. And if they could have just added that to the remake. Right. Again, if they could have added the mercenaries mode. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I would have loved it if you could have played as Carlos the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it would be phenomenal to see a side of that part of, like, a little bit deeper into what the UBCS went through, like, as far as, like, I don't know, just stuff that we didn't get to see as Jill.
Right before,
right before. Like, I also would have loved to see, like, the beginning of the whole chaos.
Right.
As far as, like,
slowly starts.
Which I will say, we get to see it in Outbreak for the most part.
Yeah.
We do. So that was awesome. And Outbreak, I want a remake of that too, baby.
Me too. We're not selfish at all.
No, not at all.
No.
I think other people would like it too, though. Mm-hmm. I think especially it was a well-received game.
Multiplayer.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You go through it. It's a multiplayer online. You can play with your friends. The AI can generate it just like Left 4 Dead. You know, it is not impossible to do.
No.
Just make it with Raccoon City. Like,
make it make sense.
Exactly.
All right, that was a fucking blast.
Oh, yeah.
Going through one of our favorite games. So good.
The one we definitely played through the most together.
Together, yes, for sure. This is the one we played the most. Because I think you played maybe Resident Evil 2 the most.
Yep.
I played 3 the most just because that's the only one I owned. Well, I owned 2 after a while.
Right.
But I just had 3 longer, I think.
Yeah, you did.
But it was so great. I loved it. I actually want to play it again, like both of them.
Yes.
We still have to finish our campaign, our original, because we started it.
Oh, the original game.
We actually played the remake first together recently, and then we did the original, and we had to finish it, baby.
A blast.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
Yes.
Cannot wait.
So here's a little tidbit about our next episode. Hopefully, our overlords will let us record this episode properly this time. See, they're already starting with me. But we're going to venture back into Men in Black.
Men in Black.
I'm just like, if this recording goes wrong, I'm suing. I don't know who I'm suing, but I'm suing.
So see, what happened was, we recorded this episode months ago.
Months.
It got messed up for some reason. Like one of our things, I think it was yours.
Yeah.
It was messed up. Mm-hmm. And we didn't realize that till like after. And it unfortunately couldn't recover it. But
that episode was so good, guys.
It was another banger.
Oh.
We're going to do it again, girl. We're going to get it.
We are.
We're going to get it done.
But in the meantime, while you're waiting for us, why don't you just, you know, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's good time.
It is. You guys got to check us out there. And also, our website's up.
We're going to be
doing a lot more stuff on there, too.
Writing articles.
Yeah, Dee's going to be talking about Stardew Valley and her experience with it. I'm excited. I'm going to talk about Cozy Grove and Alan Wake here soon. So, I'm excited. I'm super fucking stoked, dude.
Hell yeah, me too.
All right, guys. Roxy and Dee signing off into the next transmission.
Toodaloo, fellow rebels.
Bye. We'll be right back.
course.